We are now talking, going to be talking about the Queensland government's approval of the Carmichael coal mine and of course, the rail project associated with that. And Carmichael will actually be Australia's largest coal mine. We've got a few big coal mines already going. It still actually needs a water licence, so that needs to come from the federal government. But Adani wants to start construction next year. So on the line now we have Miriam Lyons, who's an environmental campaign officer of one of the biggest activist organisations against the mine, GetUp. And she's going to give us a bit of information about what's going to be affected by this mine. Miriam, are you there on the line?
I am. Hi,
excellent.
How's it going?
Not too bad, but not too good from your point of view, because it looks like there's another step gone forward on this mine. What's going to be some of the impacts on, for instance, the Great Barrier Reef in your view?
One of the most immediate impacts that you'd see is that because of the scale of this mine, they would need to expand Abbot Point Port. And to do that, they would need to dredge in the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area. So the direct impacts of that dredging, you know, a whole lot of sediment, a whole bunch of stuff, just, you know, flowing into an area that has already been hit so hard by global warming and really just can't take another blow. So that's an immediate impact that we'll see.
Is Abbot Point operating at the moment? Is it already a port?
So it's an existing port,
yeah, okay.
But it would need to be expanded, which would mean a whole lot of dredging.
Right. And so did it have to have bigger ships and things, would it?
Yeah, so there'd be a lot more shipping going through the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem as well.
Yeah, in case something sinks.
Some of the people listening now might be aware that there was a ship that shipwrecked directly over a reef quite recently.
Mm.
The company that owned that ship has never been held to account. Has been, not fined to a level that would actually allow that area of reef to be rehabilitated. So you see that's kind of, the future writ large, if we think about that one incident and how much more of that could be happening if this mine goes ahead. Then there's the impact on groundwater. So one of the things that a lot of people don't know about the Carmichael mine and the Galilee Basin coal is that it's actually pretty low quality coal. It's very high in ash, and that means that the coal has to be washed, if you would believe it. It has to be washed in order to get a high enough price to make it justify shipping off.
Mm.
So that means a whole lot of water. So it's estimated this mine will use 12 billion litres a year of groundwater.
And is it
phenomenal?
Does it get washed at the site where they're mining it or somewhere
else?
That's
right.
At the site. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of unanswered questions around what the water used to wash the coal, how that would be stored, what impacts it might have if there's, later flooding and you see a whole bunch of that water, going down river. So I think that there's a lot more of that story that we'll start to hear as people start getting to grips with the potential for this mine being a reality.
Is that a new thing, washing the coal, or have we done that elsewhere in Australia before?
I'm pretty sure that's been done elsewhere in Australia before.
Oh, okay. So there should be at least some experts that would be able to work out what the impacts
of that would be.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So and maybe there's some way of ameliorating that, who knows? But it doesn't sound great, does it?
It doesn't sound great.
No.
I mean these are aquifers that are connected to the Great Artesian Basin. We're kind of messing with a pretty, pretty important thing for Australia.
I mean,
Queensland's just come out of a massive drought. I just couldn't believe it when the Queensland government declared critical infrastructure status for the Carmichael mine recently, which had previously only been used for actually critical infrastructure, like water infrastructure, on the back of one of the longest droughts in Queensland's history. Mm. That's just pretty phenomenal special treatment for a company that we know is going to be shipping so much of its profits back overseas.
Well, I think the hope is that there's going to be a lot of employment in the area for people that have been affected by the downturn in mining generally in that area of Queensland. So that's probably why the government's a bit keen on it, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I think that we're actually looking at, a government both at a state level and at a federal level that just does not actually have a real plan for how to revive the economy. They don't have the like eggs in lots of basket plan. They don't have a plan for jobs and growth. They have all of the eggs in the one basket plan. It's like, oh, this seemed like it created a whole bunch of benefits before, even though it actually undercut jobs in the education sector, it undercut jobs in the manufacturing sector. That's what the last mining boom did. There's a whole flood of clash that flowed into a whole bunch of places, drove up local housing costs. So for anybody who wasn't in the industry, their cost of living got a whole lot more expensive. Anybody in any business that is affected by a high Australian dollar was affected by the mining boom. So often those other costs associated with it just aren't counted. But of course, you've got, governments that just have an eye on the short-term cash. It's not that high a proportion of royalties, but, they're kind of looking for anything that they can get. So it's a real unwillingness to actually recognise that the world as a whole is moving away from coal and that we are going to have to come up with an alternative plan for securing high-quality jobs for all Australians.
Yeah.
And, what you're seeing right now, basically, is, a really reinvigorated coal lobby, because there has been a rebounding in the price for thermal coal. So that's the coal that's built to create power, as opposed to coking coal, which is built to which is used to create steel. Big rebound, just in this past 6 months to a year. So it's back over $100 a ton now. Now, from all the analysts that we speak to, it seems like that's going to be temporary. So one of the ironic things is that China has been so successful in trying to move away from coal itself, because it knows that climate change is real. It's already suffering the effects of it. It's also suffering from the effects of domestic coal pollution. So 300,000 people die a year from coal pollution alone in China.
And what's the Adani?
And to do that, it's cut coal production itself. And that means that it's actually importing more coal now, and that's put the coal price up. So ironically enough, Australia's coal is now back on the table because China is moving away from it. So this is the picture that we kind of need to
mind get. Mind you, ours is better quality, at
least. The whole world is moving in that direction.
Yeah. Well, and what do you think of the Adani record for looking after the environment with their mines?
Look, Adani has a pretty appalling environmental track record, unfortunately. It's got a pretty appalling record all over, actually, sadly. So, it's got a track record for tax dodging. It's got a track record for corruption. I'm not sure if you're aware of the damage that it did to the mangroves in India with its Mundra plant. So, yeah, it's not good.
No.
You'll be seeing more.
Sounds like
coming
still
out
a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah. So one of the really great things is that that a whole bunch of people have chipped in over the past week to build a bit of a Great Barrier Reef and Adani campaigning war chest, and so that's going to enable us to fund some more investigations into Adani's track record and to really invest in getting that out into the open and making sure that everybody all over the place just knows exactly what kind of company we would be getting into bed with here. We know that Adani can't be trusted with our reef, and it can't be trusted with $1 billion of public money, which is what the Turnbull government's currently looking at handing over.
Well, I expect we'll be hearing a bit more from you and get up on this issue. Thanks very much, Miriam Lyons, for coming on the show.
You're welcome. And if anybody's interested in taking action on this right now, you can go to getup.org.au/Adani. And there's a whole bunch of things that people can do. We've got a petition about the $1 billion that the Turnbull government is looking at handing over. You can sign that, particularly keen for people to share it with people in Liberal-held seats so that we can really bring it home to the backbenchers that Turnbull listens to these days, that this is not a popular move.